When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everyone? You are back with District Baseball. Congratulations, you just hit the best baseball source you could possibly come upon, whether you're on YouTube, audio form, wherever it may be. We appreciate you joining us. I am Nick. You can follow me on Twitter at the Coach Moose. He is Trey. You can follow him on Twitter at reverse two R's, two S's, in the show at District BSB. Ranking season rolls on, but unfortunately comes to a close tonight. But we are talking about all of the pitchers in baseball. Maybe not all of them, but the top 10 starting pitchers and top five or so relief pitchers that we'll cover at the end. Before we get to all of that, Trey, what's going on?
Nick, I think it's time for Overreaction Monday, which it's actually Sunday when we record this, but this is coming out on Monday, which also, by the way, that was an NFL live segment, so I'm ripping that off. But James Wood has two home runs in two games, so I'm feeling great, honestly, because that's happened. Obviously, spring training doesn't really mean all that much, but building some hype for me at least. But yeah, we're going to get into our top 10 starting pitchers for the majority of the episode. And I was discussing with Nick before about how I don't think that there's a true dominant number one starting pitcher right now. There's some injuries as well with guys that aren't going to be pitching a full season or even at all in 2024. So that's kind of hurt the overall crop. It's still a great group, but it's hard to tell who's the overall number one. But I think we have placed Gerrit Cole at number one. I think that's probably appropriate given that he's coming off of a Cy Young season where he led the American League in ERA and innings pitched. And those are my two favorite stats for judging for awards. So yeah, Gerrit Cole comes in at number one. He pretty much has been this good since he got traded from Pittsburgh going to the Astros, where they basically were like, hey, you should throw high in the zone. And he's like, yeah, that's probably a good idea. And believe it or not, it works for him. So he was excellent last year. The Yankees as a whole, that pitching staff should look a little bit better with guys getting healthy and the addition of Marcus Stroman. So if Cole continues to be that guy for them, that's going to be good for them going forward and for a potential playoff push.
Yeah. Just to go back and preface this list, it just feels very weird not to include guys like Scherzer, DeGrom, mm-hmm. Otani, Verlander, Alcantara. I mean, he's a relative newcomer, but he was absolutely dominant. It just feels very weird. So, like, Gerrit Cole finally comes in at this number one spot, which we were kind of wondering, especially after the signing with New York. And granted, he's been there for 4 years now. Was he ever, first of all, was he ever going to get that elusive Cy Young, which he finally did? And was he really going to not regain form? That makes it sound like he was really bad in New York. Like, he's still been very solid, but it wasn't quite to the level of Houston. And, you know, that leads to a whole nother conversation of sticky stuff and whatever the Houston lab was doing and da 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 da. I'm not trying to get into all that, but just to your point about, you know, not having a true number one, like, Gerrit Cole has earned it, but somehow it still doesn't feel right, if that makes sense.
It's weird. It's definitely weird.
Yeah. Like, if someone says Gerrit Cole is the best pitcher in baseball, which is effectively what we're claiming, you're not going to disagree,
Yeah, you're not wrong.
but it doesn't feel right. Like,
Yeah,
it
I don't.
feels like there should be someone better than Gerrit Cole. And again, that's not the most analytical breakdown, but that's just kind of like how I feel looking at this ranking. I texted you when, we were combining our ranks. This feels like the most unsure top 10 I have ever done in any year. Just because this feels like the, how people say the Hall of Fame is the Hall of Very Good, not the Hall of Fame or whatever. This feels like the list of very good, but not the
Yeah.
list of the 10 best pitchers like that in, it
It's just
just,
because, yeah, there's just
it's a
no
weird
dominant
year.
guys. Like, I mean,
It's a
Cole's
weird year.
dominant, Wheeler's dominant. Like, there's dominant players, but it's just like, yeah, they haven't been that dominant for like multiple years in a row. Like, when we had like Scherzer with the Nats when he was at his peak, and then DeGrom obviously had multiple seasons where he was the clear-cut number one best guy. And I don't think we really have that. But like, again, we don't want to be acting like these guys are bad pitchers or anything, because they're clearly not. Gerrit Cole was excellent last year, and he's been a great pitcher throughout his career. But so let's see if he can establish himself as the top guy. Maybe he can, if he can repeat that season. That's going to be tough because it was a very good season, but it's possible he is a very good pitcher. And he's still relatively in his prime. So looking for him to kind of establish that number one spot if he can. But a guy that will be challenging for that number one spot and has been for years at this point is Zach Wheeler, who is our number two. ERA wise, 3.6. It wasn't really the best for Zach Wheeler. However, I feel like, a lot of Phillies pitchers have had some issues with their FIP and their ERA not matching up because they've had some defensive issues. Now, that is hopefully going to be a little bit alleviated this season because they won't have to play Kyle Schwarber in the field, hopefully, for their sake anyways. So that should help some of their pitching. But FIP-wise, Zach Wheeler was excellent, and that's kind of what I'm looking at for predictive reasons. He's gonna give you almost 200 innings probably, and he's gonna give you excellent strikeout numbers. He doesn't walk a ton of guys. He's got great command. He's got great stuff. Pretty much everything you want in an ace top of the rotation guy. That's Zach Wheeler.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious to see what the next season or two has in store for Zach Wheeler. He has such an interesting career, and I feel like we said this with DeGrom versus Syndergaard and Harvey, and now we're almost kind of saying it with Wheeler and versus maybe not DeGrom. DeGrom obviously derailed by injuries, but like, who would have thought like Wheeler would arguably be the best of that bunch,
Yeah,
that came
I
from the Mets
agree.
system.
Especially when we watched him back then.
And obviously his career really took off when he signed with Philly. Reports lately that they're discussing another contract extension as he's going into his contract year, final year in Philly. So it looks like they're trying to lock him up for presumably the remainder of his career. I mean, he's entering his age 34 season, so I doubt it would just be a 1 or 2 year pact if they were to extend him. But getting into who Zach Wheeler is, I mean, last year his ERA like jumped a little bit, but all of the peripherals were still well within reason. And he was in if you take ERA out of it, he was almost better in a lot of categories, like more innings and lower what's the walks per nine and more strikeouts per nine. So like a lot of the stuff, he was just as good, if not better, even though the ERA went up. So it's like, if you're just an ERA merchant, this is kind of an argument that ERA isn't everything, and ERA is a little bit more of a team stat than people like to admit. But Zach Wheeler is very, very good. Again, still doesn't feel right saying he's the second best pitcher in baseball, but that's no disrespect to Zach Wheeler. Like he is very, very good. And whatever Philly did with him has clearly worked, and I don't blame them for trying to extend him into his late 30s, because this seems like it's going to play maybe not to a Cy Young level competitor, but it seems like it'll play late into his career. Like he'll be a fine pitcher. So yeah, Zach Wheeler number two. It seems solid.
Yep, and then moving on to number three, I think I convinced you a little bit. with
A little
it with this
bit.
guy. My guy Logan Webb comes in at number three. Now we might have him a little higher than other people do, because peripherals is generally what you're looking at when you're trying
Well,
to
you just
predict
love run
things.
prevention. That's why he's here.
I love a good innings eater and run preventer. I don't care how it's done. I just like it. And Logan Webb gets the job done. He led the league in innings pitched with 216, and he had a great earned run average of 3.25, and his FIP was 3.16, which actually lines right up with Zach Wheeler at 3.15. Peripherals are actually on his side because he is so elite at getting the ground ball, and that's definitely the biggest thing. He's got one of the best changeups in the game. He'll actually give up some hard contact, but the thing is, it's all ground balls. It's all right at his third baseman, right at a shortstop, right at a second baseman, right at his first baseman, even. It gets the defense involved. It keeps them on their toes. I like that aspect. It's just the innings. The innings today are so important for me because there's just
It doesn't happen anymore.
statistically, there's so few players who get to 200 plus. So if you get to that 200 plus, I am automatically on board with you, even if you have like a 4 ERA, because you're
Feels
still helping your team in a big way by eating those innings. So I'm a big fan of Logan Webb, and I'm hoping that it can continue to show that ground ball pitchers and innings eaters are very valuable.
Yeah, incredibly valuable. And not to mention he plays at arguably the most pitcher-friendly park in baseball. So not saying I'm not trying to argue like the Coors effect or anything like that. What
You're
I'm saying it,
correct.
yeah. What I'm saying is like, he kind of belongs here. I mean, he's
Yeah.
just very, very good,
Definitely a
and
great fit.
he has a lot of things going for him is more of my argument than anything. But yeah, your point about the 200 innings absolutely plays. It kind of feels like almost like the 200 hits for position players, although Luis Arraez, like, look at it this way. Luis Arraez had 203 hits last year, and he was like heralded as like one of the best seasons since Ted Williams, that kind of conversation. Which Luis Arraez, I mean, he hit 354. He deserves some credit, but like 200 hits used to be a fairly common thing. Like you would get a couple guys that did it each year, and now it's like
I
ghost
think it
town.
was it just him and Freeman that did it the last year?
Did Freeman do? I thought
He
Freeman fell
did. He,
just short.
I think he did. But yeah, either way,
Let
you're
me look.
absolutely spot on. It's just like
Yeah.
those two stats are kind of that 200 mark is kind of just become
Yeah,
a
and I
little
know.
bit
Yeah,
tougher to get to.
Freeman did do it, which was crazy. It's the first time Freeman's done it in his career.
I know, which is
So,
wild because he's like such a good hitter, and
yeah,
yeah, just guys
wow.
don't swing the bat quite as often.
Yeah. Anyways, Logan Webb. Yeah, I'm definitely rising on him. In general, in terms of like become or an elite pitcher in baseball, I think he's a sneaky side. Not maybe not so sneaky anymore, but like a really good value pick for a Cy Young this year. Otani's not pitching and mentioned all these injuries. And I guess a lot of those guys are now in the AL anyways. So it kind of just opens up Logan Webb. We'll see where Blake Snell still signs. It's amazing how every year we do this, or not every year, every week we do this show, and we're still talking about how Blake Snell is unsigned. Although Cody Bellinger finally did sign.
Finally, at 2 a.m. last night.
We forgot to mention that. A totally like unrealistic deal for the Nats. No way they could ever afford it. Certainly, makes no sense for the Nats
Dude,
whatsoever.
that deal's a joke.
I feel like I'm talking about anything but Logan Webb right now. Anyways, Logan Webb, I really like his game. Like I said, he has a lot going for him. You mentioned the ground ball rate, like it's getting better and better. Certainly, a marked jump from 2022, and he was great in 2022 as well. So now he's learning to pitch to contact a little bit more, which, directly correlates with the increase in innings. Wouldn't be shocked if he pitched over 200 innings again. The Giants on paper seem to be a little bit better, so that should help, maybe his wins and kind of other other
Yeah, get some more eyes on him.
like kind of the sexy eye popping numbers. It should help a little bit when that team's a little bit more competitive. So we'll see. I'm not certainly not going to put too much stock into the Giants. But yeah, Logan Webb, he of the top three, it sounds crazy. Of the top three, I have him, I feel most comfortable about him in the top three, which is kind of baffling considering Gerrit Cole's on the list. But that's just kind of where we're at. Like I think Logan Webb is he's like the new he's the person the baton's being passed to. Like Gerrit Cole, Zach Wheeler, like
Yeah, they've been doing
mid-30s,
it. Yep.
right? And now Logan Webb is like entering the
Yeah.
conversation, so to
And we're not
speak.
that crazy, by the way. He did finish like third in Cy Young voting
Yeah, so
last
it's not
year.
a
So,
huge stretch, especially when you factor in injuries and stuff like that.
yeah. Yeah, and he's the perfect kind of pitcher to throw a lot of innings consistently because he doesn't have to rely on velocity so much.
Yep.
So that's he'll be able to, increase his innings. But then we move to a kind of a totally different type of pitcher, almost
Yeah, almost
completely the
opposite.
opposite, with
Yeah.
Blake Snell coming in at number four, who, like we mentioned, is not signed still, which is wild. But he obviously is coming off the Cy Young Award that he won. He threw some innings. Not he didn't go crazy, but 180 innings. That's very solid.
Yeah.
And the run prevention and the hit prevention were pretty much unbelievable. They basically were. They just were like, just throw the ball. Like if you walk a guy, if you walk two guys, I don't care because you're gonna strike out the next three. You're gonna get a dude to hit a ground ball that nobody can hit his pitches. He like easily led the league in hits per nine. And this is now the second time he's done this in his career with the Cy Young. So, very interesting. It's just I'm not sure exactly how to predict him going forward because he did it in such a unique way. But I also can't see him falling that far, even if it's maybe some luck type things turn around. But yeah, he's just his breaking stuff specifically is essentially unhittable. So,
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, and he did walk a lot of guys. And it just didn't matter. It just didn't matter. So he might be the one guy that can buck the trend of walks really hurting you all the time. But we have to kind of wait and see because he also had a couple seasons before last year where he wasn't, amazing. He was still really good, but not amazing. So I'm just kind of interested to see his career progression from here going forward. He's just a very interesting player, but first he's got to get on a team.
Yeah, he's of anyone in this top 10, I know he belongs here. He's very difficult to rank.
Yeah.
Because there's a legitimate argument against him. Now, I think that goes to a certain extent. Like for those saying Blake Snell's not worth the money he's commanding, that's where you kind of lose me. I mean, two-time Cy Young Award winner. I care about results. Yeah, the walks are a little bit high, but I mean, I'm taking the strikeouts and the ERA and like all of the run prevention numbers. Like his stuff is just so good. If you give me 180 innings every year, I'm gonna be just fine. I'm not gonna be crying that you didn't give me 20 more innings, especially if it leads to, good results for the team. The crazy thing about him, and I guess if you think about it with him not going deep in the games very often, he's only had 2 years with more than 10 wins, with more than 9 wins, and both of them he won a Cy Young, which is kind of nuts. Yet again, a reason why wins are a team stat more than anything. Yeah, it's just crazy. He started over 30 games for only the second time in his career. Both times he's won a Cy Young. So it's like, a direct correlation between health and productivity with him. Like even in the years where he's been banged up, like I think 2022, he missed the start of the year and then came on about halfway through the year, maybe just before, and was like really, really strong. But the Padres are, I might be mixing up my years, but it just like
Yeah, he
kind of
definitely had some
lost in the
injury
shuffle.
troubles. Yeah.
Yeah, he kind of just got lost in the shuffle with his injury troubles and all of the big names on the Padres. But like he's been solid when he's been pitching. It's just how often he's been pitching. But when he's healthy, he's one of the best pitchers in baseball. Like there's just no debating it. So he definitely belongs on this list Four seems a little high for me, but it's just a
It
weird year for pitchers. It
is. It
just
definitely
is.
is.
So I have no problem with it, and certainly, you know, the numbers are hard to argue against in a lot of respects. Two-time Cy Young Award winner, only one of those guys on this list.
Yep, that is true. And we might be looking at a potential future Cy Young winner in our number five spot, as much as I don't like to say that, because number five is Spencer Strider of the Atlanta Braves. Now, I gave Strider some crap, not necessarily him specifically, but more so the media around his season last year, because he was being
His
pushed
fans.
so hard to be a Cy Young winner when it just wasn't going to happen. He had a
He would have
three
been one of the
point.
worst Cy Young winners of all time had he won.
I mean, it would have been bad because he had a
Maybe not
3.86.
Bartolo Colon bad, but it would have been bad.
Yeah, though he had a 3.86 ERA. And listen, I know that we're talking about FIP a lot, about, you know, different metrics here that's trying to predict things, but at the end of the day, the awards are about the results. So I know that his FIP was really good, and I know that he struck out like the most batters per nine innings at the amount of innings he threw, like, ever in the history of the game. But that doesn't matter for Cy Young voting. Having said that, it does matter for my prediction, which is why he gets a top five spot, because yeah, he's pretty freaking good. He is striking out batters at a rate that we've never seen before. His real only flaw was the homer. He gave up the homer at, you know, kind of a slightly above average rate. He wasn't actually like ridiculously bad with the homers, but he also gave them up at bad times. So that can be a contributing factor towards the difference between his ERA and his FIP, as well as, you know, other defensive factors. Sometimes guys just get unlucky. But either way, I'm pretty confident that he's going to have a good season, and he's definitely going to be a guy to look out for to win the Cy Young.
I'm just gonna say he's gonna win the Cy Young this year.
It kind of feels like it's gonna
It
happen,
just is. I
because, like,
mean, so much of
yeah.
the awards is like best player, best team, and pitching, you can't really do that, but they're going to because his stats are like so many of his stats are really good, like the strikeouts per nine. His ERA was probably the only thing that held him back last year from beating out Snell because people are so, you know, hyper focused on the walks with Snell that they are not
Yeah.
really looking at anything else. Like people will talk about, oh, Snell doesn't pitch deep into games. Spencer Strider only had six more innings pitched than Snell did last year. So it's like they're so hyper focused on, you know, opposite ends, the walks with Snell and the strikeouts with Strider. But I do think if his ERA is like a 3.3 and all the other numbers stay the same. I guess the home runs might have to come down, but like all the other numbers stay the same, and he has like a 3.3 ERA. He's gonna win Cy Young. Like he is very, very good. I'm not trying to deny that. It's just it a little bit of too much too soon with him. Like he's only 24. I have no doubt in my mind he will win a Cy Young at some point. And I just said it like right here that I think he'll win it this year. But I am not ready to say he's like one of the game's best, which kind of sounds backwards, but you know, that's just how it is. There's plenty of guys that win one Cy Young and then they're just good the rest of their careers, but they're not ever back to that level. Like the list is so long. And I don't know if that's where Strider's going to go. He's still very young, like I mentioned, but right now, he is a little overrated because he gets a lot of hype, and that just it comes with the territory of the Braves and you know that insanely stacked team. He's going to get that hype because there's so many eyes on the Braves, but I'm not ready to you know put him you know top three yet. But four or what five sounds just about right.
Again, if he has another season similar to this, where he maybe brings the RA a little bit, which could flip, because, like, I mean, his FIP was 2.85. He was clearly slightly unlucky, regardless of anything that happened. But you know, if he can bring that closer together with a similar innings and similar K numbers, then yeah, he's going to be in the top three.
You know, he had a 1.83 FIP
Yeah, no, he was
in
on a rate
2022.
basis in
He
22,
was
he
very
was
good.
insane, and even in 23 as well. But, like, yeah, no, he's and yeah, he's it's just that he's on the freaking Braves, man.
That's basically what it
It
is.
just hurts.
Basically what it is. Yep. Yep.
So.
Speaking of guys, I like to win the Cy Young this year. I'm doing it. I'm doing it.
I love
Number
it.
six. Is Kevin Gausman. He's going to win the Cy Young this
I
year.
love it. I love it. Yeah,
I
and you had him at
think
four, right?
I had him at four. Yeah, I had him at four. You had it down at seven, so it's your fault.
Yeah, my
But I
bad.
really like Kevin Gausman's game. I can't truly cannot believe that this is the same pitcher that was horrible in Baltimore, that was kind of horrible for the Braves, that was horrible in Cincinnati, and take it back to the Logan Webb thing, went to San Francisco and revived his career.
Yep.
To the point where now he's one of the older guys. He hasn't really done it yet because he's more of a relative newcomer to that top echelon status. But man, I really like his game and his pitch usage. Last year wasn't his best, but it was still very, very good. 3.16, 2.97 FIP. All of those like peripherals are really supportive of him. It sounds, again, not the most like in-depth analytical, but like I think there's just bigger problems with the Blue Jays. And I can't really, back up that claim, but you look at Vladdy, you look at some of the other guys, it's just like, why are we not getting consistent results? And it feels like it's just a Blue Jays problem. But Kevin Gausman is kind of bucking that trend in some respects because he's been able to do this in spite of a tumultuous situation in Toronto between playing in Florida and underperforming and all this stuff. Kevin Gausman is the real deal, and that's kind of just how I have so much faith in him. And I think this is the year in what is just, I mean, we're talking about this top 10 is what is just a weird year for pitchers. So I think you'll see guys like Kevin Gausman and potentially Spencer Strider be first time Cy Young Award winners. And I am standing on that. I'm planting my
Standing on
flag. I
business. He's
think,
standing on business already.
I was gonna say, I was like, do I want to? Because I'm like, it's teasing it a little bit for our season predictions episode. But I really like what Kevin Gausman does. High ground ball rate, which I really like.
Yeah, and I definitely like Gausman too. I did have him a little bit lower at number seven, but obviously a huge fan. The reason I had him a little bit lower is just because he is slightly older than some of these other guys. But he's only 33, so it's not like he's, ancient or anything. And pretty much everything lines up for him the past three seasons. He's just been very, very solid. He gives you innings. He's gonna be one of the top strikeout guys in the league. I think he was the top strikeout guy in the
He
AL
was.
last year.
He
Yeah.
was.
So if he can bring the walks back down to that 2022 level and keep this
Yeah.
his strikeouts at the same rate, then I could definitely see it because honestly, 2022,
Is the
he well he was
outlier.
actually unlucky though. He was pretty unlucky because if you look at the metrics, he was your Cy Young. But same thing, his ERA just the result wasn't there and
Who won it that year?
who was the AL in
My brain is not working.
22? Oh
All right.
shoot.
Okay, I can do this. I'm gonna do this. It
This
had
wasn't
to
that
have
long
been,
ago.
it wasn't, no, wasn't
Burns
Verlander.
was 21 in the NL. I remember
Yeah. Okay. All right. All right. We're gonna do this.
that.
All
Sorry,
right.
I got one in the wrong league.
Yeah, in the wrong year. Okay. Okay. We
Wasn't Framber
Cease. Who beat
Valdez, right?
Cease? Cease came in second.
It wasn't Cole last year.
No.
Or last year, yes, but 2022, no.
Red
Is someone that's
Sox.
hurt?
It's got to be maybe someone that's changed teams because I'm going through the AL and I cannot. Did Ohtani win?
No.
Why
shoot.
can I not? Why is this so hard?
AL22. I'm also blanking.
Okay. This feels all right. This is turning into a trivia episode, but
Yeah.
I'm too locked.
I'll just cut the most of this.
No. I want to leave it in.
Oh, really?
I as long as it doesn't
Okay.
go too far.
Yeah, but good.
I need to get this. White Sox, Tigers, Twins, Guardians. I don't think
No,
anyone on the
Bieber 1
Guardians
and
won.
20.
Yeah. So who beat Cease? I know Cease came in second because
Yeah, he
Cease was
did.
everyone's pick for 2023 and he sucked. Who beat Cease? I have no idea.
Wasn't Framber Valdez, right? He didn't win.
No.
Verlander?
Regret.
Verlander. It was fucking
That's
Verlander.
was it Verlander? That's what
I'm
I
pretty sure.
said, but
Was it
it didn't
Verlander?
feel
No,
right.
wait. Was he 20? Was he 21 though?
When
He might have
did
been
no, I
21.
guess
Because he was hurt, wasn't he? Oh shit.
no,
Hold
I think
on.
it is Verlander. I couldn't remember when Verlander signed with the Mets. All
Yeah,
right.
okay. It was 2022. He won the Cy Young. That's correct.
Yeah, it was Verlander. It was Verlander.
That took us way too.
All that for like the most obvious answer.
I know, and it's funny because like yeah, he's it's just, I just like kind of forget about him because he's so old now, but like he was
Right.
39 when he won that, so
Yeah.
crazy.
Anyways.
Yeah,
Yeah.
back to
Kevin.
it. Where were we?
Yeah. No idea. Kevin Gausman. Very good. A little bit unlucky in 2022. but it seemed to be a stacked pitching year. So I think he has the stuff to do it. And he's my pick for Cy Young in 2024.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
All right, moving on. The next guy on our list has won a Cy Young before and very well could win another one this year in the AL. And that is Corbin Burnes, the newest member of the Baltimore Orioles.
May or may not be my pick.
Oh, little tease there as well. I can't blame you. I think, I was talking about the Blue Jays situation. Again, not entirely plugged in into that, social media in that team. But the Brewers kind of seem the same way. I mean, they let their manager go to a division rival for nothing, right? So that kind of just gives you some insight to how that organization runs. And I'm sure Corbin Burnes has to be breathing a deep sigh of relief to be out of that organization and be on. Are you? I mean, they were the best team in the American League last year, right? Statistically. Yeah, they faltered in the playoffs, and maybe there's rest versus rust arguments there. But the Orioles needed pitching, and they got arguably the best pitcher they could. I
Yeah.
mean, like if all right,
Definitely one of them.
we talked about people saying Gerrit Cole best pitcher in baseball. If someone comes to me and says Corbin Burnes is the best pitcher in baseball, I'm not arguing.
Yeah, and I mean, that would
You
be accurate over the past 3 seasons anyway,
right?
so.
Like I'm not arguing. Like he. I think reacting to last year in an extreme way would be a major and unfortunate overreaction. And the fact that he's not even 30 yet, Corbin Burns feels like he's been in the league for 10 years. He feels like he's a Garrett Cole or someone like that. But I think people are just forgetting how good he was from 2020. I'm going to include it because it helps the argument. From 2020 to 2022, he was exceptional. Even like, yeah, last year was like a small hiccup, but he's still the 3.39 ERA. It's not like he was absolutely awful and unwatchable and you just couldn't throw him out there. Like he was very, very good. And he's been outside 2019, which he only started four games, so I don't know what happened there, but he's been very, very good his entire career. So I think when someone shows you who they are, when you have six-ish seasons, the ish being 2020, six-ish seasons of like really, really good like performance, you just believe it. Corbin Burns is really, really good. And honestly, I think this is too low on Corbin Burns. I kind of wish I put him higher, but maybe I was overreacting a little heavily to 2023. But I really like your pick. If that is your pick, I won't have you spoil anything. I really like it. He needs to get his walks back down. That was the big killer last year. His strikeouts went down, his walks went up. But if he can get back to kind of his career norm averages for those two stats, we're going to see a really, really good pitcher on a really, really good team.
Yeah. So I'll say maybe this is my pick. I have another guy that is in mind in Cole Ragans, who I'm debating as like a dark horse type pick. Because
he looked good today.
He did 101 miles per hour. I was like, yeah. Oh my God, this dude's good. But yeah,
even the Royals are developing pitchers. The Nats.
So Corbin Burns. I do think he's in for a really big season. He's in a walk year. Guys tend to want to pitch their best or play their best when they're about to enter their free agency. And I wouldn't expect Corbin Burns to be much different than Blake Snell was last year when he did the same thing. I'm really liking Burns getting into an environment with new ownership, young squad around him that's ready to win.
It's more motivation.
And he's the guy that he is the piece like that. When the Orioles made the playoffs last year, we everybody, it wasn't just us, was saying they need more pitching. And it definitely proved itself true in the playoffs. And so they went out and did it after the new owners bought the team. So I love that. And if he gets off to a quick start, I kind of thought they'd already do it, honestly. But if he gets off to a quick start, look for an extension talks. I don't know if they'll necessarily do it right away, but look for talks to start unless he does want to just go to free agency, which more power to him if he does. But he's obviously excellent. And yeah, last year was just a slight dip, but I think he's going right back up.
Yeah. Agreed. All right, moving on to number 8 on our list. And I'll be honest, probably the most unsure inclusion of any player I have in this top 10, and that's Zach Gallen. Obviously, Zach Gallen last year was great, like really, really, really solid. 210 innings, 3.47 ERA. The numbers look good. Obviously, the Diamondbacks came out of nowhere to win the NL pennant, and he was a large part of that. I just can't tell who the real Zach Gallen is. If he's more like, you know, the last 2 years, I'm feeling really good about it. But something just tells me that he's a really good pitcher and not like a top 10 pitcher. You kind of look at some of the peripherals. It's not horrible. Like he dropped his walk rate. His K rate has dropped a little bit over the past couple of years, but like it's still fine. There's some things that just kind of, what's like a step, like a red flag, like an orange flag, like that's kind of just how I feel.
Just a slight worry.
Yeah. His expected ERA is like a 4.18 last year, where he had a 3.47, and that's not entirely uncommon. It's never really going to be a direct match. His FIP was respectable at a 3.26. So I'm just trying to kind of put my finger on it. I need one more year to finally be sold, but I had him in my top 10. Nevertheless, I had him at 10 because I'll talk about my honorable mention here in a little bit, but like I have seen enough to where I think he is a top 10 in this current landscape. I just don't know if I've seen enough to have him stay there, if that makes sense.
No, I think that's fair, because there are a couple concerns. And one of the biggest concerns was that he wasn't a very good pitcher on the road. He did a lot of his best damage at home. So he needs to try and even that out for me. That's basically one of his last things, because he threw 210 innings. He had the most starts in the league. I love that reliability. Basically, you know what this guy's going to go deep in the game, and he's going to provide you with great strikeout numbers. He's not going to walk a ton of guys. He doesn't give up a ton of homers, pretty much everything you want. Can he do it again at this extent? I think, it's kind of okay to question, is he an ace at this point? Just because
that's kind of how I'm feeling.
Yeah. Just because, it was the first time he's done this, and there was troubles about, how well he pitched on the road, and he wasn't amazing in the playoffs. He had a couple good outings, but he wasn't incredible by any means. So kind of just trying to see, does he got that dog in him? Let's see this. Let's see some more dog, and then we'll be able to definitively keep him in the top 10. But that's a good point. This current pitching landscape, he's definitely a top 10 because this is just a weird list.
Super dependable, like, any team would love to have him. Not saying, not arguing any of that. I think it's also maybe I'm just missing some of the like appealing stats, the strikeouts or anything like that. I need a little bit more, even though he had a great year last year. It kind of seems a little bit greedy, but I just want to see something else. Just show me a little bit more. All right, moving on to number 9 on our list is kind of a surprising one. Like, I have no issues with him on this list, but you talk about just wild careers, and now he has yet another new team. That is Sonny Gray. And I think there were times, especially, when he was coming up with Oakland, where you're like, oh yeah, Sonny Gray's top 10, or Sonny Gray's going to be top 10. I think that was fine. But then the next like 3 to 4 years transpired, and you're just like, Sonny Gray, top 10, get out of here. And then like, it's just like back and forth, snip, snap, snip, snap. And like the fact of the matter is, he was great in Minnesota. 2-year stint. I mean, even before that in Cincinnati, he was super solid. So, it wasn't a huge surprise. It was just like his career is almost bookended with like really good performance. And in the middle is just like this, it's not a pile of shit, but it's like it's a small pile of shit. It's just been a wild career for Sonny Gray. But he was exceptional last year. I understand why he got paid. He just was really, really solid. 279, 283 FIP, both really, really, really good. Doesn't strike out a lot of guys. Walks some, not terribly, but he doesn't allow home runs. Last year, 0.39 home runs per 9 innings. That's what really saved him in my mind. Like, pretty good ground ball rate. It's just he learned how to pitch almost. Like, he just was not getting beat in a lot of ways, and that's just you have to commend that. Like, if you're smart enough to know how to pitch, know how to get guys out without like the top tier strikeout stuff, you belong in this top 10 list.
Yeah, no, I absolutely loved what I saw from Sonny Gray last year. That sweeper really became his main weapon, with his sinker tunneling off of that. It was just very hard for hitters to make solid contact. You're kind of going up there hoping to get a single as opposed to hitting a homer off of him, just because he's so hard to connect with, so hard to barrel with that sweeper, especially. He's also a little bit older for this list, but I do like that. Yeah, I think what you said is true. He really did. He looked like he learned how to pitch last year. He wasn't necessarily trying to strike everyone out. He was trying to get weak contact, which I definitely appreciated, because it helped him get his innings back up to where, he was throwing 200 innings as an A, and then he went to New York. That whole saga of his career was just wasn't a good match. It wasn't a good fit in New York, and since he's left there, he's been pretty good. So, I'm not. You know what? I was gonna say I'm excited, but I'm not, because he's on the Phillies. So I guess I'll just, I'm intrigued to see
Keep forgetting.
if
Why
he,
do I think Cardinals?
because, well,
Am I?
they were in on him early on. That was a
But who
report.
did they? Oh, they ended up signing the old team,
Yeah, they got
or
like a bunch
like
of
the
old
old.
dudes. They got
But I
Gibson
guess Sonny
and
Gray
Lancelin
would
and
technically qualify for you know.
AARP. But
Yeah, exactly.
so yeah, I'm a big fan of
No,
Sonny
Sonny Gray
Gray. I'm
signed with the
just
no, Sonny Gray signed with the Cardinals.
He
I'm not
did?
insane. Yeah, he signed with the Cardinals. You said that, and
Awesome.
I was like, no,
Who
he
did the
didn't.
Philly didn't the
No,
Philly sign somebody?
yeah, Aaron Nola.
Yeah, they okay. I could have
Yeah,
swore he signed with the Phillies.
I was like, you said it. I was like, oh yeah, Phillies. That sounds right. I was like, wait,
See, that does
no.
I've been in baseball mode for like a couple months. Like I should know
I haven't.
that. That's awesome. I can actually root for him. Let's go.
Yeah, there you
You
go.
know what? I'm a big fan of Sonny Gray, and I hope he does well this season.
Yeah,
There
he's
we go.
definitely top
He's
five.
awesome. I love him. Yeah, but in all seriousness, he's excellent. And his ability to induce soft contact is one of the highest levels in the game right now.
Absolutely. And rounding out our list, number 10 is the guy I am. If I had to pick one pitcher in baseball, say, hey, 3 years from now, who do you think's an unquestionable top three arm in the league? George Kirby is my pick. I absolutely love George Kirby's game. And I know for some, it might be a little early to make this call. And I get it. But again, this kind of turns back to the whole conversation of the current pitching landscape, right? There is a changing of the like a passing the baton between the old guard and the young pups, right? Like we talked about it off the top. Verlander, Scherzer, I mean Ohtani due to injury, DeGrom we'll see, but like all of those staples are, you know, at the end of their careers. Aside from Ohtani, obviously that's a different story, but like all those guys that we've been used to watching and seeing, even guys like Cole and Wheeler, who are at the top of our list now, they're approaching that age where
Getting up
statistically
there.
they become like good, but not quite the you know the dominant aces they once were in their quote unquote prime. You know, they still could have one or two more, you know, really successful seasons. I mean, Justin Verlander just won a Cy Young at age 39, so we just remembered, you know, 10 minutes ago. But for me, George Kirby is like right up there with the Spencer Striders of the world, with who's going to be some of the best pitchers in baseball in, you know, maybe even sooner than that. I really, really, really like George Kirby's game. And the thing is, I know there's room for improvement. I mean, especially in the strikeout numbers. His strikeout numbers were not like what you would expect for a guy who put up the numbers he did. But he was still really respectable. 3.35 ERA, 3.34 FIP. So this is one of the few instances where like it does actually match up. It's incredibly rare. And you know the home runs were, you know, perfectly acceptable. Does not walk a lot of guys whatsoever. Pitches to contact, knows how to get out. To do this at age 25 and not like you see so many guys who have like great stuff that struggle with command, struggle with walks, give up the long ball, whatever it may be. Kirby's entering the league and like not really struggling with any of that. So I think that the ceiling is immensely high for him, and I cannot wait to see what he does this year. I don't know what the Mariners are doing, but I just know George Kirby is going to be a large part of what they are trying to do.
George Kirby is Mike Rizzo's favorite pitcher because he does not throw ball four very often. He led the league in walks per nine innings, less than one walk per nine
It's
innings
absurd,
in the modern
truly.
in modern baseball is
Yeah.
ridiculous. Great band, by the way. But yeah, no, I'm definitely a big fan of George Kirby. I had him at number 11 if we were expanding, because like you said, he is very young and I'm curious, can he continue to do this? Can he attack like this
Is the
stay
book on
effective?
him going to change the way he pitches,
Yeah.
basically?
And I think he will be able to continue because he actually still he like you said, he still has room for improvement in the strikeout numbers, specifically with his breaking pitches. And I think that those pitches can still improve and get better. So as he continues to expand his arsenal, I would expect the K numbers to go up, and I would like to see the walk numbers stay there. I mean, he's just kind of a here it is, hit it type guy, and it's very effective for him. And it helps him get deep into games. That's a big thing. Yep. His pitch counts were never high. He like even though like he had 109 innings, which is at the upper tier, he probably could have gone more. In many different games, they pulled him earlier because he is a younger guy. But I would like to see him his leash get extended and start getting into the seventh and eighth, and maybe even be a guy who can be one of the few players who can do a complete game shutout.
Things that were so common and now are just complete games in general, not even shutout.
Yeah, for real. So I love a good complete game, and George Kirby, if they let him cook, might be a guy who can do that once, maybe multiple times per season.
Yep. And I'll just roll right into it. My honorable mention, a guy I did not feel great about leaving off this list, but I need to see that one truly dominant season, the season we think I have thought for a while was coming, but just hasn't come to fruition yet. Luis Castillo is my number 11. I really, really like his game. You want to talk about one of the best changeups in baseball? He has one. I just need to see that elite season. He's been very, very, very good in his career, but I can't, you know, there's so much very good that I can't necessarily argue if he's elite, if that's, you know, if that sort of makes sense. Whereas like George Kirby, super young, we can kind of project a little bit. Luis Castillo is super steady, but like so steady that you almost can't argue, you know, that he was elite. But I really like his game. And you want to talk another, there's a lot of sneaky Cy Young picks in the AL, and Luis Castillo is still one of them as well.
Yeah, especially like we said, there really isn't a end-all be-all guy to pick. Like most of your picks are going to be like, all right, yeah, that could happen.
Yeah, sure.
I have a few honorable mentions here. So I'll go with my first guy who I actually did rank in the top 10, which is Pablo Lopez, who I absolutely love and have really been into his game since he's been in Miami. And he's like 27. I just found that out. He's very, very young. He's just entering his prime, coming off of his best season where he struck out more than 10 batters per nine innings. I'm very excited to see what he does for that twin staff.
Like that
and
pick.
Then I've got Kodai Senga was another guy I want to talk about.
I also like that pick.
He has now entered the injured list, so he won't be starting the season. So I decided just to keep him off, because if he was going to be healthy, I was looking at him as a potential Cy Young guy if he'd get those innings up, because his stuff is clearly there. And my final honorable mention I will say is Justin Steele. This is another young pitcher.
Really good season.
Young pitcher who is another guy, like you talked about the changing of the guard, kind of. He's another guy who's coming up, and he struggled right at the end because he had a really good season up until he got into this is career high in innings. So he got up and started to get a little bit fatigued, had a couple stinker starts at the end that sort of took him out of Cy Young contention, but he's a great pitcher, and I'm excited to see what he does moving forward with that Cubs team that added Cody Bellinger last night. So now I'm looking at the Cubs as potentially, you know, fighting for that NL Central spot. Those are my three honorable mentions for the starters. Let's move right into our relievers real quick. We're going to do it quickly. Because we've already rattled them off. We're doing a top five for relievers. It's extremely difficult to pick these, by the way. So we went with Devin Williams at number one, David Bednar at number two, Emmanuel Clase at number three, Josh Hader at number four. And our number five pick is Edwin Diaz, who is returning this season. Pretty excited to see him. Although he is on the Mets, I do like watching him pitch. He's very fun to watch. And I will say the honorable mention is Tanner Scott, who has been very good for the last two seasons for Miami. He threw a lot of innings last year, and he's pretty nasty. So watch out for him. But I think that list is solid, because these guys have been there, done that, and it's hard to stay consistent as relievers. So these guys have been consistent, and as difficult as that is, that means that they have to be, you know, a little bit more respected in that front. But Edwin Diaz obviously didn't pitch last year, but everyone knows
there's enough there.
If he gets back to even like 75% of his 2022 season, then he's still a top five reliever. in the league. But that's pretty much going to wrap up ranking season. Nick, how are you feeling about these rankings that we've done? Because I'm feeling pretty good. I think we did a good job.
Yeah, it feels like this year we're not going to look back and be like, ooh, tough one.
Yeah, you know, but there's...
We'll see. We'll see.
There was definitely some of that from our previous lists. But I like where we're at right now.
Did you know Pablo Lopez signed an extension with the Twins?
Yeah, no, I, yes.
Where was I? I don't remember that. Anyways.
Yes, he did.
Anyways, we're slowly getting back into baseball mode, if you can't tell. So, ranking season is kind of the official close of the winter talk. And with the close of the winter talk means we get to talk spring training. So as this, next month or so unfolds, we'll talk divisions. We'll talk what's going on in spring training. We'll have some more Nats episodes. We are really ramping up the season. Before we know, opening day will be here. Lots to talk about, lots to discuss, lots of bold takes to happen. So I cannot wait to get into it. In the meantime, be sure to follow us on Twitter. All of our handles are below if you're watching on YouTube. And if you're not watching on YouTube, first of all, I appreciate you listening on the audio format, but there's also a video format. So please check us out, District Baseball on YouTube. Hit the subscribe button. Follow us on TikTok at District Baseball and Twitter at District BSB. We appreciate listening. Next week, we start the division previews. So cannot wait, and you won't want to miss it. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, see ya.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.